Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Hello, all my Dream Big listeners. It's so good to have you here today. And one of the reasons I'm so glad you're here is because we're going to talk about a topic today that is so near and dear to my heart. And it's something that I continually struggle with. And the fact that I continually struggle with it, I have a feeling there are people out there just like me who feel the same way. And we're going to be discussing living consciously. We're going to dissect that because that is huge. And I can't do it by myself. So I invited my dear friend, Liz Tupling, and everyone, welcome, Liz. Liz, how are you today?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me here, Jill.
You look terrific in headphones. Just wanted to tell you that.
I'm right back at you.
So can you please tell the listeners what you do? And because if I say it, I'll sound like I'm reading, and I prefer you just tell them from your heart what you do.
Sure. Happy to. So Jill, I am a integrative psychotherapist and I'm in private practice here in Michigan, Bloomfield Hills and Royal Oak. And I see and work with people, individuals and families, and just helping them kind of understand maybe where some of their blocks might be, developing roadmaps for just better living and more conscious living, and then helping them really, really understand how they can get to the next step and phase in life, and doing so with intention and, you know, how to live that best life that everyone's looking to live.
The best life. I know. We all strive for it, don't we?
We do.
And what do you feel? I know for me, I mean, just, you know, even reading your bio and the things that you touch on with your patients and the people that see you, you know, I think one of the things that really had me focus this morning was, you know, that we block things. We block success. Why do you feel, and I want to know just for myself, not just for the listeners, but why do you feel that people are fearful of success? I mean, I know, I understand fear of failure. I get that. But why fear of success? What do you feel that causes? Why is that there?
Well, I think people become frustrated when they are stuck. And so on some level, they want out of that box, out of that prison, right? So that's on one level. Then there's another part of them that is okay with remaining stuck because that's, you know, the expression, the devil that you know. That's a comfort zone. Okay. And I don't think it's something that we're comfortable admitting. But it is, it's a safety zone because that's where we're trapped in our own lies. We're trapped in our own excuses. We're in our own narrative. And it's probably a narrative that we've carried around for a very long time and we're comfortable. So to step outside that story is a matter of challenge and holding yourself to a new set of expectations and possibly, scary as it is, living freely and with ease.
And although, that's a concept, right?
Yeah, it sure is.
I think, I know for me, and I think, you know, maybe the artist mentality that goes along with it, that if you're not struggling, something's wrong. You know, if it's not, you know, hard. I mean, so what do you think about that?
Well, I think it resonates with, and I'm sure it resonates with our listeners at this, just at this moment in time, because somehow I believe that that's a societal kind of concept that's taught that unless you're really toiling and suffering in some way and sacrificing, that, you know, you just, you probably shouldn't succeed. Like it has to come with great sacrifice. When in truth, Jill, the people that I see that are really, really, really carving out new, exciting, abundant and prosperous things in life are the people who are doing it with ease. And they're just stepping into a space and creating. And that creation point comes from being free and living in ease.
So how would you, let's just say me, for example.
Let's say you, Jill.
What about if you, what would you recommend to someone who is feeling stuck? What would be like a small step, if I can even ask you that, you know, without, you know, I know we only have 20 some minutes here, but, you know, what would be the first steps to helping people get unstuck? I guess is that I know it's probably a lot harder than just saying, hey, give us a 10 step thing, you know, but what do you think?
So one small step that can kind of create that opening for a new chapter in life can be to just shift into possibility, right? Because what we're really good at telling ourselves is what's not going to happen. Well, I tried this and this didn't happen. I tried that and that. We're really good at identifying all the closed doors and why we think they close. Okay. But when I challenge people to think, you know, what are the possibilities if you fill in the blank, X, Y, Z, I usually get that deer in the headlight look. Cause, and when I ask, you know, why are you kind of looking at me funny right now? And I think, cause I never thought about that. Right. So the challenge of what are the possibilities if I fill in the blank again, you know, just that small step of imagining is huge. So that requires some creativity and thinking outside the box, because it also means dropping the old story. Cause you and I can both think of a million reasons why something is not going to happen.
Right.
Right. But when you say, okay, somebody who's interested in owning their own business, think of 50 reasons why it's not a good idea financially, or it's too much of a risk with all of my debt obligation, or whatever it is. But to sit down and say, what are the possibilities right now if I were to open up my own business next month and it were successful? That's a mind bender.
It is,
because it's probably not something that anyone's thought of if they've thought of all the reasons why it wouldn't work. So just thinking about possibilities. Then when you think about possibilities, you think about kind of it's that empowering moment where you can kind of go, okay, I just thought outside the box for a second. I'm going to get my toe in the water here. And now I may be less invested in why it can't work. Right. Because I've seen another side of this equation,
right,
why it can work. and to wrestle with that, because that's going to be, you know, an internal conflict and dilemma. I think that's a great starting point. And it sounds simple. It sounds kind of like, OK, well, why haven't we all thought about that sooner? But we tend not to.
But we don't. I mean, we just don't. And I think one of my favorite things that you always do with me when we talk is like, in a perfect world, you will ask me that question. In Jill's perfect world, what would you see?
Right.
And when you do that, then opening that possibility, there is this energy that comes from it, you know, but I think there is something with society, because we are surrounded, even if we, you know, as an individual, choose to say, start a company or do something outside of the box, society pretty much, there's a lot of it, and even people closest to us, because of the fear, can say, oh, that's not going to work. What are you, crazy? Right. You know, what about this? What about your bills? What about this? Right. So how do people, what would you suggest they do as far as keeping that negative energy out while they're pursuing this, you know?
You know, I'm not certainly going to make a recommendation of seclusion, right? Like, just hunker down in a remote location.
One of my favorite books is Ignore Everybody. But
yeah, right. Avoidance 101. Right. But certainly, you know, when you're in that space of creating and examining possibilities, if you know that you've got the peanut gallery of naysayers around you, then you know that as soon as you tap into their energy, it's going to be an energy of you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. And you're also going to be exposing yourself to their fear. Right. And so one of the things that's really interesting about conscious living and about the idea of living from an awareness standpoint is that we're also learning that in each and every one of us, Joe, we're carrying around potentially 4 to 6 generations of collective consciousness within all of us.
Whoa.
Whoa is right. Right. So that means that generationally we have the DNA, the thoughts, the fears, the behaviors, the good, the bad of about 4 to 6 generations inside of us. And if their fears around, you know, strife, struggle, money, abundance, family, relationships, if those fears are kind of embedded within us, we've already got that naysaying peanut gallery inside.
So we have a lot of work to do with
that. Right. So my thought is, in answering your question, is why then expose yourself to that external kind of, you know, you shouldn't, why are you doing this kind of thing? Just really listen to your own inner wisdom in that transformational period. And it is a very, very scary feeling for a minute. You know, you're walking a tightrope potentially by yourself, but it's so rewarding.
It is. And, you know, when I think about what you were saying, you know, I always had this joke when I would tell my parents I was going to move out of my house, you know, move out of their house. And my mom would say, you can't, you don't have a vacuum. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I can't move out. I don't have a vacuum, you know? And so now breaking the chain though, with my daughter, when she says, this is what I want to do, or I want to do this, I want to, I always say, oh my gosh, you got it. No problem. And I just don't even put an ounce of fear into her. And then she is successful because of it. But I had to break that chain mentally in order to see her, you know, thrive. And I think that's a hard thing to do, because in the back of your mind, you want to say, yeah, but you can't, Emma, you don't have a vacuum.
Right. So there's that transgenerational message, right? And so what was really cool about what you did, Jill, is that you drew the line in the sand, not with my daughter, not gonna give her the vacuum cleaner message. It was, you know, it was total BS. I didn't buy it. I'm not even going to try to sell it to her.
And I hate vacuuming anyway. So
it's overrated. It's just not, it's not worth the time some days. And the truth is, your mother's mother and her mother and her mother probably handed down some little nugget of wisdom like that as well. Right. And there are those limiting beliefs that are handed, especially to us as women. There's a lot of different messages that generations of women either consciously or unconsciously impart to one another.
Right.
So it's awesome that you did that. It truly is.
Well, I wanted to see her live the life, I guess, I wanted in a sense, where she loved to travel. She loved to do all these things. And granted, she was walking the tightrope. She didn't know exactly how money was going to come in. She didn't know different things, but she did have a bit of a plan, and she had the seed of confidence. And I thought, well, between the two of those things right there, I could see. And you can learn from other people when you give away, you know, confidence to them, then all of a sudden you can see, wait, if they can do it, I can do it too. And so in regard to that, and also one thing I want to talk about is like a self-sabotage. So you're on your way, you've got it going, and then you throw a wrench in it. And that kind of goes back to the fear. But what do you think self-sabotage is developed from? Is it still the same kind of lineage type thing? Or do you think it's just, you know, a way to stop yourself from failing? Or what do you think about self-sabotage? And why do people do it so often? You see it a lot.
We do. And I think it's all of the above, right? I think it's, you know, what would I do if I really got to my end goal and game? You know, if I achieve that outcome, how would that change everything? And I think that, you know, people will get in their own way and in some way, consciously or unconsciously, make sure that they don't achieve the goal, because fundamentally they're concerned about how it's going to change the landscape of their lives. Even if they've wanted it for so long, so badly, are people going to treat them differently? You know, what will some new type of status, how will it change their lives? What will they do then? You know, so, you know, I work with, I have a client who comes from a very, very old school Polish family. And the generational message is, don't do so well in life that you'll make the other people around you uncomfortable.
Oh, bummer.
Okay. Yeah, bummer is right. Right. So, so she's, you know, she's working within this paradigm of, success is okay, but you really better push the mute button on it in case the relatives get really uncomfortable.
Right.
And so, so she's working within this duality in her brain where she is saying, you know, she's a very gifted, massage therapist and Reiki master. And I'm so proud of like all of the work that she's done. But in this paradigm, she feels stuck. Right. Because as much as she wants to go ahead and move forward and attract new clients and attract abundance, the other message on the backside is, hey, if you keep doing that, you're going to make everybody around you uncomfortable. So that's a little anecdote, I think, in terms of what can hold people back. They want it, but they don't know, you know, how it's going to change things.
Well, and I think success, the way people look at them. And success does. I mean, you do find out who your friends are when you become successful and how they handle your success. I know a lot of people in my music industry where they have to downplay what they do around their friends and their family because it makes their success makes other people uncomfortable. You know, I've witnessed people say, well, you found your purpose, but I don't know mine. And so you almost feel guilty about having this purpose. And then that can stop you as well.
So there's the guilt word. And I 100% believe that that is a driver for a lot of folks. So there's the duality and the conflict, right? I want this. I know I can do this. I know it's my truth. But if a certain level of success comes from it, or I do it too easily,
right? If it comes to you too easily,
oh my gosh, should I feel guilty? You know, maybe the generational message is that you should feel guilty if things come easy to you. I mean, there's just so many reasons why people can get halfway down the success road and then pull the plug on it.
Wow.
Right? Because you might feel guilty.
Yeah. And then you just stop it because then... Because what happens if it even becomes more successful? Then what are you going to do with it? You feel like you have no friends or family after that. But I think you touched on something too. I mean, when we look at even going back to women and how in years and years past, women would kind of have to downplay their intelligence, downplay their successes. I know in a marriage, it's very hard, even for me, like, you know, I'm driven. I am ridiculously driven, not in a... unhealthy way. It's just I have a lot of creativity in my brain. And so sometimes I always feel like, gosh, should I put on the brakes a little bit? Because, you know, my husband's creative in his own way, but like I don't want to overpower everything. How do you stay the course? How do you stay the course and still maintain your life with your family and friends? You don't want to lose family and friends. How would you explain that to someone? You know, rationally.
Rationally.
When we get irrational
we
about
the
this
irrational
stuff.
Route.
Okay, do the irrational first.
Okay, so plan A and then plan B. I think it is about living in your truth, and that truth is different for everyone. And I think the fear is that will the people around me be able to accept what my truth is, right? And
right.
So if my truth is that I want to occupy this really cool, expansive, creative space every day, is that going to be too much for everyone, right? But what's the alternative?
Unhappiness, really.
Right. And to be an alternate version of you.
Right.
That you
you're
don't
dumbing
like,
yourself down,
right, that
basically.
You don't even want to accept that alternate version of you,
no.
But you're living it and you're trying to inhabit it because it makes things easier on everyone else. If you go that route, that's going to blow up at some point.
Yeah. You can't carry that torch.
You can't sustain it.
Mm-mm.
You can't. So in the end, the people around you are going to see, they're eventually going to see the real you. Right?
It reminds me of that toy. Do you remember that toy when we were young? You know, it was that toy that you could wind up and you'd wait for the little monkey to jump out. I mean, it's what I kind of feel like if you try to sustain that, if you try to cover up the real you and just try to be what you think society expects of you. I mean, I know as an artist and to do things, you know, I constantly create and have these dreams and these visions of what I want to do. But there is a part of me that's like, gosh, will that be accepted? How is it going to affect people? You know, what do I do with that? And so you're right, though, because the more you push it down, all of a sudden you become this pressure cooker, you know? And then what kind of life is that? So, you know, how do you have any exercises for, you know, living consciously? You know, I know for me, I have different ways I wake up in the morning and meditate and things like that. Do you have like a, you know, like a little cheat sheet where you could recommend to our listeners of just maybe doing one thing a day and how to learn, you know, to live consciously?
So I kind of take a little bit of a backward approach on that because, and I know you and I have had this discussion many times. I'm not a big fan of, you know, I love intention setting. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I think when we understand where we want to go, that's great. But I don't know if people get there until they decide what they want to let go of. So I'm a big fan of, instead of saying, you know, I need to do this week or I need to do that, I'm a big fan of advising people to just sit down and say, what is it that I need to let go of? Because when you let go and when you release and when you discard, you open up again to possibility. When you hold on and you allow all of that stuff to continue to occupy you, dominate you, and inhabit you in a way that no longer serves you, how can you move forward?
So give me an example of something to let go of. I'm just curious.
Sure. You know, any outdated ideas that we have about, there's a classic example, outdated ideas about success.
Okay.
You know, sit down and write out maybe or make notes on what are your own lies about it? What are the lies in terms of success that you've either been told or you tell yourself? Because chances are they're lies, right? You know, what is the truth? What is the lie?
Okay.
That whole conversation. And so, and look at, you know, and call yourself out. Like, you know, call you on your own crap. Because there's a lot of it in there.
We all have it.
Yes. We all have a story that we've told ourselves, the I can't, I won't, I shouldn't, and what if. Okay, that's, you know, somewhere along the line, if we're going to move forward, we got to let go of that stuff. So sit down and literally make a list of your own lies. Because chances are that's where the work is, right? Letting go.
Okay.
Right. So can I drop that old story? And if you can do that maybe once a week at your own pace. So it might be a belief system around success. Okay. It might be that if I become too successful, I'm going to make the people around me feel horrible or something. Okay. That's a fat lie.
Yeah, that really
is. Also, it's not our jobs to take care of other people's emotions.
Right.
So if they're uncomfortable with our success, that might be theirs to work on. Okay. So that's where you catch yourself in the lie. But something like that, Jill, is really helpful. What is it that I've been telling myself? And that very thing that I've been telling myself, am I ready to let it go? And if I'm not ready to let it go, why not?
Interesting.
Why am I holding on to it? What is it serving? And if it's not serving anything productive or allowing me to look at the possibilities in life, can I really, really push myself outside that comfort zone and drop it and drop the story?
Love it. I love that. Now, another thing I think I find, especially with my Dream Big clients, I find this as a common denominator of a lot of them is that they don't feel they deserve it. It's almost like a, well, one is like a victim role that they don't deserve it. And then the other one is they just are embarrassed by receiving the success. Or, you know, we'll take an artist, for example. I have a young artist. I mean, I feel terrible, 13 years old. And she said, I don't know if I should do this because why should I deserve this?
Oh,
and at 13, you know, you want to break that obviously really quick.
Yeah.
But, you know, my answer to them is you have a gift.
Yeah.
And the reason you have this gift is because you're supposed to share it. But where do you think we get this victim role? Where do you think we get this non-deserving of success in our brains? I mean, obviously you're saying that it comes, you know, generationally, that's a hard word to say, but what can we do to find confidence when we don't have it, I guess, you know, within ourselves? Because sometimes you can't go out and get it from people outside, but you can, you know, what's a good exercise for that? You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the worth issue is really, really embedded in, and it can be in all of us. Do I deserve good things? I think we're more comfortable with things not going well, and that's predictable, and we're good and groovy with that. The idea that something could go in my favor really, really is disruptive to people, ironically, right? But the worth thing is deep for a lot of people. So, you know, again, it could be the message in the family. Nothing comes without strife and struggle, and even then it doesn't come to you. But to say, to allow yourself to receive, again, I come back to the idea of you let go of a lot and you create the space, right? That you create that openness and that expansiveness that allows you to receive. But you're not going to have that space to receive if you're completely jammed up with old, outdated ideas, specifically the idea that I don't deserve.
Right.
So when you let go of that, and I challenge people, why don't you deserve it? Why? Well, and usually they're really reaching at the bottom of a barrel to find the reason.
Right. I mean, you know? I think it is a hard thing to figure out why you don't feel you deserve it. But I think that, well, as Dream Big listeners, I hope you all know that you deserve it. We all deserve happiness. We all deserve to have that day that we want, the life that we want to live. And just think if we all walked around this planet that way. That would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it?
And who are we to deprive other people of our talents, our gifts, our light, and our love? And if we deprive them, then think about it. You know, we create this shortage of really what this world needs. And, you know, Nelson Mandela said it so well. I think it was his 1974 inaugural address. And it was essentially the idea of who are you not to share?
Wow.
Who are you not to bless this planet with your gifts?
Right.
Why would you do that?
And maybe, you know, that is an easier way for people to handle this, is that we're always so worried, like we're feeling selfish about worrying about what we love to do. But on the other hand, you're giving. So we're going to have to wrap this up, unfortunately, because
sure.
This has been an incredible talk, and I knew it would be. Liz Tupling, thank you so much. Can you give them your website and let them know where they can follow you? I mean, do you have a website?
Yes, okay. Yes. My Soul Growth. alloneword.com, or, you know, feel free to drop me an email at elizabeth@mysoulgrowth.com. And I'm happy to, even just as a follow-up from our discussion, take questions and whatnot, or just inquiries. And so
please do, because she is just a life force that can help so many people. She's helped me through so much in my life. And I'd love to say thank you so much for being with me and the Dream Big listeners. And we'd love to have you back sometime. So
would love that.
Thank you
so much, Jill.
And also, I do want to say thank you very much to our sponsors today, Dan Davis Design. And if you want to hear more about them, you can definitely check out our podcast. They were a great guest. They are known to be one of Michigan's incredible interior design firms. So thank you, Dan Davis Design.